This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue our series bi-ithnillahi ta'ala entitled Our Story, a chronological overview of the Muslim Ummah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, everyone has a story, and this is the story of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, this is our 11th lesson. In our previous majlis, we learned and discussed our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending those letters inviting to Islam the various kings and rulers from Caesar to Kisra, etc. We learned about the reactions of many of them. We saw that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now engaged in a peace treaty with the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And thus, he was able to concentrate on the threat further north, which was emanating from the city of Khaybar. The Muslims had gone and eliminated that threat, walhamdulillah. They had also received a lot of booty after the taking of Khaybar. We discussed the expedition of that al-Riqa'. We discussed the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and performing the Umratul Qadha. As per the agreement of Hudaybiyah, that year, the year 6 after Hijrah, they were not allowed to perform the Umrah. Rather, it was said, go back, come back next year, and you will be given a period of 3 days to perform your Umrah, walhamdulillah. And the Muslims had done so, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. We also discussed that during this period, there was the Islam of 3 leading individuals. Who? Khalid ibn al-Walid, Amr ibn al-As, Uthman ibn Talha, walhamdulillah. We also discussed the Battle of Mu'ta, where 3 leading lights got their martyrdom. Number 1, Zayd ibn Haritha, radiyallahu ta'ala an. Number 2, Jafar, the one who just recently returned from Abyssinia, was also martyred, the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then lastly, Abdullah ibn Rawaha. One after the other, they were martyred in the Battle of Mu'ta. And then what happens? Khalid ibn al-Walid, that new Muslim, mashaAllah, he makes a successful retreat with the rest of the Muslims, and he had broken 9 swords while fighting in this battle. Thus, he was given the title Khalid ibn al-Walid, Saifullah, Saifullah, mashaAllah, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also discussed the expedition of that as-Salasil, where Amr ibn al-As, that new Muslim, he was the one put in charge, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, those events occurred between the years 7 and 8 after the Hijrah. We now move on to one of the most important events in the year 8 after Hijrah, and that is the conquest of Mecca, walhamdulillah. Fathu Makkah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And closely associated with the conquest of Makkah is the Battle of Hunain and the siege on Ta'if. And thus we will discuss all 3 of them, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, why the conquest of Mecca? Are we not at peace with the Meccans? Haven't we signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? Well, what happened was, the tribe of Banu Bakr, which was an ally of the Quraysh, what did they do? They raided, they attacked the tribe of Khuza'a. The tribe of Khuza'a was the ally of the Muslims, and they had killed about 20 of the Khuza'a. And thus, they had done this with the assistance of the Quraysh of Makkah. Allahu musta'an. So here we have the ally of the Quraysh attacking the ally of the Muslims with the assistance of the Quraysh. Thus, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was now violated. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was now broken after about 17 to 18 months after signing. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this conquest of Mecca takes place in the month of Ramadan, the year 8 after Hijrah. And this ally of the Muslims, the Khuza'a tribe, if one remembers, when the Muslims were camped at Hudaybiyah, the Khuza'a tribe was one of those tribes that provided the Muslims with food, gave them animals, etc., so that they could consume, so that they could eat during those days. This Khuza'a tribe, they were previously the custodians of the Kaaba. For over about 300 years, they were the ones who expelled the Jurhum tribe. The Jurhum tribe from into which Ismail alayhi salam had married. Eventually, through history, we found that the Jurhum tribe, they had fallen into corruption. And so they were removed from Mecca by the Khuza'a tribe. Later on in history, the Khuza'a tribe, their chief Amr ibn Luhay, he is the one who introduces the idol of Hubal, an idol worship into Mecca. Unfortunately, Allah musta'an. Later through history, we find that one of the grandfathers of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the name of Qusay, he gets married to the Khuza'a chief's daughter. So he is the son-in-law. And this chief had no sons. So eventually when the tribal leader of the Khuza'a, who's in charge of Mecca, when he passes away, who takes over? His son-in-law by the name of Qusay. And thus, now we find the family of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam after Qusay, they were now the custodians of the Kaaba. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. What has now happened? Well, now the Treaty of Hudaybiyah has been broken. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows about this. A delegation of the tribe of Khuza'a had come and visited him and had mentioned exactly what has happened. But the Quraysh of Mecca, they are wary. They feel that the Muslims of Medina probably don't know about the matter. And so, just to be doubly sure, they send Abu Sufyan all the way to Medina al-Munawwara to do what? To reaffirm the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He comes, speaks to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Fatima, Ali, etc. He seeks their assistance in trying to get the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to like double ratify the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam asks him, why? Has something happened? Is there a reason for this? Is there something going on? No, we just want to, you know, ratify it, make it doubly sure. No, there's no need for anything like that. We are upon the treaty. Obviously, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows what these people have been up to. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Remember, this Abu Sufyan technically is also the father-in-law of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam married his daughter Habiba recently. Remember, she was in Abyssinia and then her husband had passed away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had proposed to her. She accepted the marriage. And it was Najashi who was the one who oversaw the marriage. And later on, she was sent to Medina al-Munawwara. And so, subhanallah, Abu Sufyan is meeting his daughter Habiba, probably after about 15 years. And she's now the wife of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He visits her at home. And there was a rug there for people to sit on. She folded it. And she says to him that you are a mushrik, you are unpurified, etc. And you can't sit on this. This is the rug of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah, she's speaking to her father, and also he is the chief of the Quraysh. And she says to him, that how is it, why is it that you have failed to enter into al-Islam? A man like you, my father, you are smart, you are intelligent, etc. You are the chief of the Quraysh, and you still have not embraced al-Islam. So there was that discussion between Habiba and her father, Abu Sufyan. Later, Abu Sufyan tries with Umar ibn al-Khattab. He goes to Fatima. He goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. But every one of them not willing to assist him in his mission in trying to get the Treaty of Hudaybiyah double ratified. In fact, Umar says to him, I mean, you want me to assist you in this matter? Even if there was just myself and maybe a dust peck or an atom, I would never, ever, ever assist you in this matter. Remember, Umar was one of those who was very severe against the Treaty of Hudaybiyah in the first place. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So Abu Sufyan leaves and he heads off back to Mecca al-Mukarramah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders the Sahaba in Medina to begin preparations. Where are we headed? He doesn't mention to them. What is the mission? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a cloak of secrecy over this matter. What's the target? Nobody knows. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for help from the various allied tribes, the tribe of Sulaym, Ashja', Muzayna, Aslam, etc. So all of these Ghifar, all of these tribes, they also sent assistance. And subhanallah, a force of 10,000 was raised. What number? 10,000 was raised, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. It was only but a few years ago, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, etc. The Muslims were like 1,400, 1,600. 17, 18 months later, they raise a force of 10,000, the largest army that they've put together ever, mashallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. During this period, while they were preparing, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept it under wraps. What the target is. Some are thinking he's going to head north, he's heading south, he's heading in this direction, that direction. Why? Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't want the Meccans to get wind of the fact that he is heading out in their direction and he's coming to Mecca al-Mukarramah. Why? Because if they get wind of this matter, they will prepare defenses, etc. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted a surprise attack upon them. But subhanallah, one of the Sahaba, by the name of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, he eventually got word that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is intending to head out towards Mecca al-Mukarramah. What did he do? He sends a secret letter with a woman to the Quraysh, informing them that there's this attack which is about to take place. And so this woman, she has this letter, she doesn't know what's in the letter, and she is headed towards Mecca al-Mukarramah. If she gives this letter to the Quraysh, they are going to know exactly what's going on. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this letter. And thus, he sends Miqdad, Az-Zubair, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, to intercept this letter. And they were eventually successful, walhamdulillah. They caught up with this woman and they eventually got the letter, mashallah. When they returned back to Medina al-Munawwara, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, this Sahabi who fought in the Battle of Badr, the same Sahabi who was given the letter to send to the ruler Muqawqis in Egypt. It was Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a who took the letter inviting Muqawqis to al-Islam. The same Hatib here, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summons him. And he comes forth and he says, Ya Rasulullah, it's not hypocrisy, it's not nifaq, it's nothing like that. I'm not a spy, I'm not a criminal, I'm not a hypocrite. Rather, I only did this to protect my family and my wealth in Mecca al-Mukarramah. That others, they have their families in Mecca who can protect their family members. I don't have such family and stuff, such high ranking family to protect. And so I have a few family members. Maybe if the Meccans figure out what's going on, they might harm my family. So I wanted to maybe get a good word with them. I wanted to be in a good standing with the Meccans, and so they wouldn't harm my family. And so thus I gave them this information. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this in reality is high treason. You are informing the enemy of our movements. And especially at this time where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted a secret attack upon Mecca, you are informing them of this matter. Allahu musta'an. This in reality was a major slip on the part of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, Ya Rasulullah, let me chop off the head of this hypocrite. Let me chop off the head of this hypocrite. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam listens to Hatib. What's your side of the story? Why did you do so, etc.? And so Hatib mentioned his excuses. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let him be. Maybe Allah looked at the people who fought in the Battle of Badr and said, do as you wish. For Allah has forgiven you. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam here, he didn't allow this major slip up of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a to wipe away all of the good of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we also see from this subhanAllah, even though the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed by Allah about this letter, even though he had the letter in his hands, the letter was intercepted, even though all of that is clear like the sun, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam still asked Hatib and wanted to hear from Hatib, what does he have to say about the matter, subhanAllah. Shows us the importance of listening to both sides of a story. Even though he was informed by Allah about the matter of the letter, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam still allowed Hatib to give his side of the story, and thus Hatib was eventually forgiven. Walhamdulillah. The Muslims, they leave Medina al-Munawwara on the 10th of Ramadan. And subhanAllah, they will enter into Mecca around the 19th, the 20th, some say the 21st. Around that time, they will enter into Mecca al-Mukarramah. It's Ramadan. Some of the Sahaba were fasting, others were not. When they reached the area of Qura al-Ghamim, or some said Usfan, here the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he broke his fast. And it was after Asr. It was after Salatul Asr, one might say, well, let's just continue the fast. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he broke his fast and he ordered the people to also break their fast. Why? Because it was difficult. On this journey, we also had Salama joining the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha was also on the journey. Walhamdulillah. Before they reached Mecca al-Mukarramah, so they're on the way to Mecca al-Mukarramah. Before they reach Mecca, they meet up with some prominent individuals. And these prominent individuals embraced al-Islam. We find, subhanAllah, that Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Not the Abu Sufyan we were discussing recently. Rather, this is another Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Cousin of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also foster brother of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This man was a bitter enemy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for about 20 years. And they come across him, and he comes, he wants to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he wants to announce his Islam. With him, there was also Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah ibn al-Mughira. This is the paternal brother of Salama. So this is like a son-in-law. This is like a brother-in-law, rather, of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Salama's, the wife, Salama's paternal brother. And he is also the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So both of them, this Abu Sufyan and Abdullah ibn Umayyah ibn al-Mughira, were both cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is he the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Well, his mother was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's aunt, Atika. Atika, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father's sister, Atika. This is her son. And subhanallah, both of them, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one might say, gave them a cold shoulder. He didn't want to give them an audience. He didn't want to meet with them. But eventually, Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, and others, they made a way. And eventually these two individuals meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they announce the al-Islam, walhamdulillah. Subhanallah. We find this Abu Sufyan, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Battle of Hunain, he was one of those around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam protecting him. We find that this Abdullah ibn Umayyah ibn al-Mughira, he will be killed in the siege of Taif very, very soon, subhanallah. So those are two prominent individuals who meet up with the Muslims on the way to Mecca and embrace al-Islam. There was also Al-Abbas, uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his entire family, at around the area of Juhfa. They meet up with the caravan of the Muslims, and Al-Abbas, he announces his Al-Islam. Some ulama say that technically he was a hidden Muslim all this time. They say that he became Muslim before the battle of Badr. Some said no, rather he became Muslim before the battle of Khaybar. And some said no, he became a Muslim right now. What we know is that now he announces his Islam. Why do some historians say, well, he was a Muslim before? They said that probably he was a Muslim, he embraced Islam, and maybe the Prophet ﷺ told him to keep it quiet, keep it secret, and for him to remain in Mecca, and thus he would send the Muslims information about what's going on in Mecca al-Mukarramah. He was the, masha'Allah, the intelligence provider, walhamdulillah. Ala kulli hal, whether he embraced Islam before Badr, whether it was before Khaybar, or whether it was now, the fact is, now with his entire family, he is making the hijrah to Medina al-Munawwara. He meets up with the Muslims, they are headed in the direction of Mecca, and so he also joins them, walhamdulillah. The Muslims, they camp at Mar al-Zahran, and the Prophet ﷺ told them to light many, many fires. 10,000 of them, and so many, many fires they lit. Why? To give a warning to the people of Mecca al-Mukarramah. Al-Abbas, this uncle of the Rasul ﷺ, he felt that it would be a good idea to go and speak to some of the leaders of the Quraysh and tell them to come and negotiate with the Prophet ﷺ and not to fight, because the game is over for them now. 10,000 here and they are taking Mecca by surprise. There's no point in fighting. The Meccans will be outnumbered. Game is over. So tribal leaders of the Quraysh, come and meet with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and come and negotiate some sort of settlement. And so that's his idea. And some mention that this idea was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he approved it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What we do know is, so Al-Abbas, he's on the animal of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the mount of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is heading towards Mecca to go and meet with some of the leaders of the Quraysh. And he comes across Abu Sufyan, Hakim ibn Hizam, and Budail ibn Warqa. These individuals were out on a reconnaissance mission to figure out what's going on. You know, there's some talk about some fires. Is there some enemy trying to attack us? What's going on? And they meet up with Al-Abbas in the middle of the night on the mule of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Al-Abbas says to them that, what are you going to do? This is the forces of Muhammad. They thought it was maybe some other group. They didn't realize that it was the Muslims. And so they were all shocked. Al-Abbas says, the game is over. Rather, you, Abu Sufyan, come back with me. All of you, you, Budail and Hakim ibn Hizam, come, I grant you protection. Let us go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us go to Muhammad and let us discuss with him. And let's see what we can come out with from that discussion. And so he takes them. On his way through the camp of the Muslims, Umar ibn al-Khattab notices. And Umar says, this is the enemy of Allah. This is Abu Sufyan. And the treaty is broken. And his blood is free for us. And so attack, attack. Al-Abbas says, no, I've granted him protection. And so there's a bit of a skirmish there, a bit of a discussion between Al-Abbas and Umar ibn al-Khattab, and they go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Al-Abbas says, I've granted them protection, Ya Rasulullah, and they want to speak to you, and they want to discuss with you. And Al-Abbas says to Umar ibn al-Khattab, I mean, you just want to finish off this man here, just because he is not from your tribe, rather technically he's closely related to us. Umar says, what are you talking about, Al-Abbas? What are you talking about, Al-Abbas? That if, when you embraced Islam, this was dearer to me than maybe my own father becoming Muslim. Why? Because you are dearer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are you talking about? I'm making an issue because he's not from my tribe and he's closer to your tribe, etc. Nothing of the sort. Rather, just because this man is such a criminal, that's why. Allahu musta'an. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, go and come back tomorrow and we will discuss. And subhanallah, the next day, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invites Abu Sufyan to al-Islam. And Abu Sufyan after some reluctance, he embraces al-Islam. And then after embracing Islam, you know, he still had an issue with regards to Muhammad Rasulullah. He says, La ilaha illallah, no problem. Muhammad Rasulullah, I have some reservation with regards to this matter, but eventually he accepted, walhamdulillah. Also, Hakim ibn Hisam and Budayl ibn Warqa, they had embraced Islam the night before, so all of them are now Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ponder over the fact, brothers and sisters, that this enemy of al-Islam is before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have had him executed, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invites him to al-Islam. The man embraces Islam, still mentions some reservation with regards to Muhammad Rasulullah, but eventually embraces completely, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, look at the rahmah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guide people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to link the creation with the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Sufyan, he then sees the forces of the Muslims, 10,000 strong, mashaAllah. And so eventually he goes to Mecca to tell the rest of the Meccans to surrender. And he's given the orders by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, announced to them clemency, amnesty. Whoever stays in his home will not be harmed. He is safe. Whoever enters the Masjid al-Haram, he will be safe. Clemency, amnesty for him. Whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan will also be safe. He will not be harmed. So Abu Sufyan goes through and he mentions all of this here to the Meccans of Mecca. And subhanAllah, people begin to curse him, people begin to abuse him. His own wife, Hind bint Utba, she is one of those that abuses him and curses him in public. What are you talking about? Oh man, you are gone crazy, you are off your head, etc. He says to them, the game is over, that there's no point in fighting at all. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam divides the army, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. And they head towards Mecca al-Mukarramah. We find that Khalid ibn al-Walid, he attacks from the right of Mecca al-Mukarramah, al-Zubair from the left of Mecca al-Mukarramah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, they enter from one direction, Sa'd ibn Ubadah from another, Sa'd ibn Ubadah is the leader of the Khazraj, remember? And the liwa and the raya or the flag was black on that day. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divides the forces into the four directions. And the four groups, they enter into Mecca al-Mukarramah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he enters from the upper sections of Mecca. We mentioned it's the 20th of Ramadan. He was wearing a helmet. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a helmet. He had his head lowered in a state of humility. And he was entering upon his camel by the name of Qaswa while he was reciting the surah, Suratul Fath. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. He's reciting the surah, has his head lowered, he's on the camel, and later on the helmet was removed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replaced it with a black turban. Was there any fighting which occurred? Some mentioned that this was a bloodless takeover of Mecca. No, the reality is that there was some fighting. We find that the direction from which Khalid ibn al-Walid entered, in that direction we found that Safwan ibn Umayyah, Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, Suhail ibn Amr, they decided to fight. And so Khalid ibn al-Walid fought them. About 2 to 3 Muslims were killed, and about between 12 to 20 of the mushrikeen of the Meccans were also killed. Between 12 and 20 of the mushrikeen were killed. And subhanAllah, this occurred because these individuals, they didn't choose to abide by the amnesty offer. They chose to reject the offer of amnesty and remain in their homes. Rather, they chose to fight. And those were the only casualties. There were a certain group of individuals who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had issued death warrants with regards to themselves. These were major criminals. Some mention 4 men and 2 women. Others mention different numbers. From amongst them, we find that Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, one of those who decided to fight. He was on that death warrant list. But what he eventually did was he fled. He fled, subhanAllah. And then eventually his wife comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she embraces Islam. And then she petitions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have mercy upon Ikrimah. Eventually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grants amnesty to Ikrimah. And then he returns, he embraces Islam. Walhamdulillah. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody should insult his father. Don't insult the father of Ikrimah. Why? Because this would hurt Ikrimah. Even though Ikrimah's father was the Fir'aun of this ummah, don't insult the father in front of Ikrimah because this will hurt the son. There was also Abdullah ibn Khatal. This criminal here, he had killed a Muslim. He left the fold of Al-Islam and he would curse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so eventually he was captured and he was killed. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, these criminals, even if you find them holding on to the curtain of the Kaaba, have them put to death. The death warrant has been given with regards to these individuals. But as mentioned, some of them still received amnesty like Ikrimah. Walhamdulillah. There was also Miqyas ibn Subaba. This individual, his brother was killed accidentally. And then what he did was, this Miqyas, he came all the way to Medina al-Munawwara. And he sought the blood money, and he eventually got this. Blood money was given to him in retaliation for the killing of his brother. So he received the blood money. But then what he did was, he also unjustly killed the perpetrator. He killed the perpetrator, and then he fled Medina al-Munawwara, and he returned back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So he had come, taken the blood money, and then as an act of deception, he also killed the person responsible for the killing of his brother. It was an accident. He did so, and then he returns back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He was also given the death warrant, and he was killed. There was Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh. This individual had embraced al-Islam. He was in Medina al-Munawwara. And then there was even a claim that he was now receiving revelation. And so then he leaves the fold of Al-Islam and he returns to Makkah Al-Mukarramah. He was a murtad. He was an apostate. Allahu musta'an. This person was also given the death warrant. But subhanAllah, he meets up with his foster brother Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so Uthman comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, my brother, he seeks amnesty and he is embracing Islam, etc. First time, second time, three times he comes and he mentions this matter to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh. So after the third time, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have granted him amnesty. And then they left. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, why didn't any one of you stand up? I mean, this man was given the death warrant. Why didn't any one of you stand up and finish him off? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we didn't know that you wanted that. We didn't know that you wanted that. So why didn't you indicate to us by your eyes, Ya Rasulullah? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that it is unbecoming, it's unfit, unbecoming upon a prophet that he deceives with his eyes. That the man is standing in front of me here and I deceive with my eyes and have you chop off his head. This is something which is unbecoming upon a prophet. And subhanAllah, this Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh embraced al-Islam and he became one of the conquerors in North Africa later on. Walhamdulillah. So he was given amnesty, mashallah. There was also a woman by the name of Fartana, and she was executed. There was another woman by the name of Sarah. She received amnesty. There was Hubar ibn al-Aswad, or Habar ibn al-Aswad, the one who, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter Zainab was migrating to Medina al-Munawwara, he's the one who interfered with her, he's the one who harmed her, she fell off the animal, she had a miscarriage. This Habbar ibn al-Aswad, he fled from Mecca al-Mukarramah, later on became a Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had granted him amnesty, walhamdulillah. There was also Huwairith ibn Nuqayd, or Nuqayd. He was that criminal who hit the camel of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and Kulthum when they were migrating to Medina al-Munawwara. This criminal, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, caught up with him and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha finished him off. Harith ibn Talatil al-Khuza'i, Ali also finished off this individual. Ka'b ibn Zuhair, he was rather given amnesty, became Muslim later on. Wahshi, the one who was responsible for killing Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, he was also given this death warrant. But what did he do? He fled to Ta'if. He fled to Ta'if, and then later on he will become a Muslim about 1.5 years later. About 1.5 years later, he will eventually embrace Al-Islam. And lastly, there was Hind bint Utba, the one who it is stated that she chewed upon the liver of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. She mutilated the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, the wife of Abu Sufyan, the mother of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. She was also on the death warrant list, but she embraced Islam and she was given amnesty, walhamdulillah. The people of Mecca, they gathered close to the Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses them and he says to them, "What do you people think I will do to you people?" They said, "Khayran." They said that you will do good upon us. You are akhun kareem wa ibn akhin kareem. You are a noble man and you are the son of a, you are akhin kareem. You are a noble brother and the son of a noble brother. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine the scene that this city of Mecca al-Mukarramah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived there for 53 years. And it is the same city, the people had expelled him. They tried to assassinate him. They got together armies to destroy the Muslims of Medina al-Munawwara. And here today, with his head lowered, he is the conqueror of Mecca al-Mukarramah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam grants them amnesty. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. The words as mentioned in Surah Yusuf, as Yusuf says to his brothers, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, that there's no issue, no problem, no blame upon you people today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you people. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء, as Ibn Ishaq mentions, go, you people are set free. Go, you people are set free. There's no harm that will come upon you. Ponder over the magnitude of this clemency, of this amnesty, of the mercy, subhanallah. 21 years of difficulty the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has gone through, and complete amnesty given to the people, subhanallah. Imagine when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam meets up with Hind bint Utba, the wife of Abu Sufyan. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows that this woman here, she's the one who mutilated the body of my uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prays 8 units of prayer in the house of Umhani. Some mention that this was Salatul Duha, others say no, or rather this was the Salah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed, giving thanks to Allah for this victory, walhamdulillah. The 360 idols around the Kaaba, they were all broken. جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا, that the truth has come and batil has been destroyed. The idol Hubal was also broken. Pictures of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Maryam, Ishaq in the Kaaba, all these pictures were removed. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made tawaf around the Kaaba and then he addressed the people. He mentions to them, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. O you people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, inna khalaqnakum min dhakar, we created you people from the male, khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, and the female, wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila lita'arafu, and we made you into nations and tribes so that you would know one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, verily the most noble to Allah is the one who has higher levels of taqwa. The matter of taqwa, that's the differentiator, subhanallah. Your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then prayed two rak'ahs of salah inside of the Kaaba. He entered with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an and Usama ibn Zayd. Ponder, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. He's entering the Kaaba with who? With Bilal al-Habashi and with Usama ibn Zayd. Usama, the son of Zayd. Who was Zayd? Zayd was that former slave. Who was Bilal? Bilal was that former slave. These are the two individuals that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes into the Kaaba. He didn't take Abu Bakr. He didn't take Umar. He was sending a message to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. That very, very class-based society, look at who I take into the Kaaba. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. It's not the matter of the color of your skin or your bank balance. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes Usama and Bilal and grants them that honor that they entered the Kaaba with him during the conquest of Mecca. Then the keys of the Kaaba were given to Uthman ibn Talha. Uthman ibn Talha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that no one will take it away from you except a tyrant, except somebody who is unjust. Then Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is given the order to give the adhan for Salatul Dhuhr. Where did he give the adhan from? The mountain of Safa? The mountain of Marwa in the Haram? No, he gave the adhan while he stood on top of the Kaaba. Subhanallah. And you had some of the people looking at this and they were all shocked. Like they were also shocked during the Umratul Qadha when Bilal had done the same. Some of them said, rather Allah has had mercy upon my father, caused him to die before he saw this sight. That this Abyssinian slave is standing on top of the Kaaba here in Makkah and giving the adhan. Subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purposefully wanted to break all of these idols of jahiliyyah, all of these isms and schisms that they had in their hearts. So Bilal, on top of the Kaaba, he delivers the adhan, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also sent out different expeditions to go and destroy the various idols that were in the nearby regions. Khalid ibn al-Walid was sent with about 30 to destroy the idol al-Uzza. This was the idol of the tribe of Mudar, Quraysh and Kinana. Sa'd ibn Zayd, he was sent with about 20 to destroy Manat. This was the idol venerated by the Aus and the Khazraj. Amr ibn al-As was sent to destroy Suwa', the idol of the people of Hudayl. There was also the pledge of allegiance now taken from the men. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken the pledge of allegiance from the men. And after the men, then the women had come forth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not touch the hands of any of them. But the pledge was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From amongst the women, there was Hind bint Utba, Abu Sufyan's wife. She also came forward and she embraced Islam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken the pledge of allegiance from her. She came veiled, but eventually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized who she was. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Part of the pledge of allegiance that one will not commit zina. So she responded, does a free woman ever commit zina? I mean, a free woman will never ever commit zina. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that you will not kill your children, etc. So she responded, well, we reared our kids and we grew them up, and then you people killed all of them at Badr. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard that, he began to laugh, subhanallah. He began to laugh. This shakhsiyya, this personality of Hind bint Utba, very, very strong personality, and those were some of her responses. And she also mentions that, my husband Abu Sufyan, he doesn't really spend that much on us and we need and stuff like this here. So can one take without his permission? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed according to your need. We find Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and his father was still alive at this time. And so he brings his old father to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his father wants to embrace Islam. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Abu Bakr, why did you do that? Rather, we would have come to him. You didn't need to trouble him and bring him all the way to us. We would have come to him. Abu Bakr says, no, rather he's got more right to coming to you than you going to him. Radiallahu an. We find that, subhanallah, Suhail ibn Amr and Safwan ibn Umayyah, These individuals were also given amnesty. The story with regards to Safwan ibn Umayyah and Suhail, they were from amongst those who decided to fight. Safwan ibn Umayyah stood his ground, he fought, and eventually he fled. What did he do? He went and headed towards Jeddah. But then while he was there, he meets up with Umayr ibn Wahab. Umayr ibn Wahab comes to him and says, look, I have an offer of amnesty for you from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look, I've even come with the turban of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a sign that this is guaranteed, that there is amnesty for you. If you come back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will grant you amnesty. Remember, previously, it was Safwan ibn Umayyah's father is the famous Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the torturer of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. This Safwan ibn Umayyah, he lost his father Umayyah and his brother in the battle of Badr. He lost his uncle in the battle of Uhud. And he's the one who previously said to Umayr ibn Wahab, if you go to Medina and you kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then I will sort out all of your debts, etc. And so Umayr went, and that was his mission. But he was caught out by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he eventually embraced Islam. So now when Umayr comes to Safwan, Safwan says, I mean, you are the criminal. You are the one who had the agreement with me and then you swapped sides. And now you want me to come back with you to Makkah? No, I'm going. He says, no, but here's the turban of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's guaranteed amnesty for you. Eventually, Umayr convinced Safwan ibn Umayyah, and Safwan ibn Umayyah returns to Makkah, and he asks, O Muhammad, is it true that you've granted me amnesty for 2 months? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, rather you take 4 months. Forget 2 months, you can take 4 months to decide your matter. And similarly with regards to Suhail ibn Amr. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now in control of Makkah al-Mukarramah. It's the year 8 after Hijrah. It's the month of Ramadan. Walhamdulillah. Makkah is now under Muslim control. Some other points related to the conquest of Makkah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam remains in Makkah for 19 nights. And during this period of 19 nights, he had shortened his prayers. And that's where we find some ulama pulling the opinion that if one is a traveler, then as long as you are staying in a place for less than 19 nights, then you are allowed to shorten your prayers. Also, during the conquest of Makkah, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it haram, prohibited finally the matter of mut'ah, temporary marriage. This was something which was allowed previously, and now during the conquest of Makkah, it was made haram, haram, and haram until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Temporary marriage is no longer allowed. We found that the wife of Ikrimah, we mentioned she became Muslim before him, and he became Muslim after her. But as long as the husband becomes Muslim before the end of the iddah, the waiting period, then their original nikah still stands. No need for any new nikah or anything like that. During the conquest of Makkah, there was also a woman from the tribe of Banu Makhzum. She was charged with stealing. And then the people came to Usama, and they said, Usama, you know, this woman, she's from this high-ranking tribe, and she's like a noble woman, etc. I mean, it wouldn't look nice if the penalty was applied upon her, and her hand was chopped off. This is not going to go down well. Can you please intercede on her behalf with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Maybe speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why did they go to Usama? Because Usama is super close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They saw that maybe a few days earlier, Usama was one of those who entered the Kaaba with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Usama comes and he puts the matter forward to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our Rasul, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got extremely angry after Usama had mentioned this matter. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes out in public and he gives an address and he says, this is the type of action which destroyed the people before you. That when the high-ranking individuals do something wrong, then you do not apply the penalties upon them. But when the downtrodden and the poor do the same, then you want to apply the rules of justice, etc. upon them. If Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, had stolen, لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا, I would have her hand cut off. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid down the rules and the foundations with regards to the matter of justice, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, Khalid ibn al-Walid was sent on an expedition during this period to the tribe of Jadima. And there was some misunderstanding which occurred there, that many were taken prisoner, and some of the Sahaba said that these people were Muslim, and Khalid ibn al-Walid, he said no, and he ordered that these prisoners should be executed. Some of the Sahaba agreed, some of them disagreed, and Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, no, no, we will not do this. And eventually the matter was brought back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry by the actions of Khalid ibn al-Walid, and he turns to Allah and he says that, oh Allah, I am free, I am absolved of this matter, that this matter here, Khalid ibn al-Walid has done this, we didn't order, we had no say in this matter, we had no part in this matter here. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded Khalid ibn al-Walid for this misjudgment on his part. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, with that, we have covered the conquest of Mecca. But subhanallah, the conquest of Mecca, there are two major incidents closely related to the conquest of Mecca. And that's the Battle of Hunain, and that is also the siege of Ta'if. What happened? What happened was, subhanallah, was that the tribe of Hawazin and Thaqif of Ta'if, when they got wind that the Muslims are heading out from Medina al-Munawwara and they are heading in our direction, are they coming to take over Ta'if? Are they coming to fight us? Are they coming to attack us, etc.? So they got themselves ready. But eventually, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not head to Ta'if. Rather, he headed towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. But the people of Ta'if, they were expecting, they were thinking maybe that he is headed towards us. Eventually, when they got wind that Mecca has now been taken over by the Muslims, they were 10,000 strong, etc. We find that the people of Ta'if, they get themselves ready and they want to march out and face the Muslims and put an end to the Muslims. Why? Either they felt that they will be next. Now the Muslims have taken Mecca. Well, Ta'if would come very, very soon. So either they felt that, or maybe they didn't want to see the status quo change, that they loved their idolatry, they heard about the breaking of the idol of Hubal, etc. And so they didn't want all of this idolatry to come to an end. They also had one of their major temples in Ta'if. So maybe it's maybe that's the reason. Or maybe they wanted to be the new custodians of Mecca. Let us remove the Muslims as it is. Abu Sufyan and the rest of the custodians of Mecca, they've been removed from their position. Well, if we remove the Muslims, we will be the ones who take over Mecca al-Mukarramah and it will grant us prestige. Maybe that was their intention. And maybe it's all of the above. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What we do know is that they gathered a force of about 20,000. They advanced with their women, their children, under the command of Malik ibn Auf al-Nasri. Why did they take their women and their children? They said because this would be a good idea. It would ensure that we do not flee or anything of the sort. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets word of this and he rallies the Muslims together. They were about 10,000 as we mentioned. And now there's also a new group of 2,000 from amongst the Meccans. From amongst the Meccans who have embraced Islam, Abu Sufyan and others. So the Muslims are now 12,000 strong. This is the largest force that they ever put together. Walhamdulillah. They even had some non-Muslims amongst them, like Safwan ibn Umayyah, like Suhail ibn Amr, those who were granted amnesty. Suhail ibn Amr, Safwan have about 4 months. And so they are not Muslim, but they also joined the Muslims in this expedition. And so there's the showdown. There's the coming clash between the people of Ta'if, the people of Thaqif and Hawazin, and the Muslims plus the 2,000 of the Meccans. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in preparation, he borrowed 100 mails of armor, the suits of armor from Safwan ibn Umayyah. Safwan ibn Umayyah, not a Muslim, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam borrows this armor from him. And Safwan says, are you like just taking it from me, or is this a loan? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is a loan. We are borrowing it from you, and we will return all 100 back to you. And the Muslims leave Makkah al-Mukarramah on the 6th of Shawwal, and they are headed towards the area of Ta'if to face the tribe of Hawazin and Thaqif. On the way there, they pass by a tree. And remember now, there's like 2,000 new Muslims amongst the Muslims, new Muslims of Makkah al-Mukarramah. As they pass this tree, they say that this is the Dhat Anwat tree. The people in Jahiliyyah, they would hang their swords, hang their weapons on this tree, in seeking blessing, in seeking like a good omen. So they say, Ya Rasulullah, make for us a tree like the Dhat Anwat tree for blessings. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you people are like the people of Musa alayhi salam. اجعل لنا آلهة كما لهم آلهة. Make for us a Lord, just like they have a Lord. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded them that we do not believe in these type of things, these superstitions and these type of omens. We don't believe in all of this here. And you people will follow the ways of the people before you, even if they went like a lizard, even if they went into a lizard's hole, you people will follow them in that. Allahu musta'an. Beware. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded them. Many now felt on their way, we are 12,000 strong. We will not lose. There's no losing today. لَن نُغْلَبْ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ قِلَّةٍ. We will not lose today due to having small numbers. Definitely guaranteed we are going to win this battle against the tribe of Hawazin and Thaqif. Allahu musta'an. This was a mistake. This was an error. This is complacency. The first time you feel that you have such a large number, now you think you are not going to lose. The opposite is what occurred, subhanallah. At the beginning of the battle of Hunain, we will find that the Muslims are thrown into a state of chaos. Allahu musta'an. Two battles Allah mentions by name in the noble Quran. The battle of Badr and the battle of Hunain. Battle of Badr, you were few and you were victorious, mashallah. You overpowered an army greater than your size. And the battle of Hunain, you were large in number, you were complacent at the beginning, and thus you suffered losses at the beginning. The Muslims, they entered the valley of Hunain. This is around the 10th of Shawwal, the year 8 after Hijrah. And it's around the time, the break of dawn. The enemy, they were waiting to ambush the Muslims. As the Muslims entered into the valley, they were caught unaware, and they were thrown into a state of distress and confusion due to this surprise attack. If you look at our graphic here, we found that Khalid ibn al-Walid, he's in the front, leading the 12,000 men towards Ta'if. As they're entering into the valley, Malik ibn Auf, he leads the 20,000 of the Hawazin into the valley of Hunain, and they ambush. They ambush the Muslims. Eventually, the Muslims will win the battle. But at the beginning, they were in a state of chaos. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls the people towards him. He was on his mule by the name of Duldul. Anan nabiyyu la kadhib, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the Nabi of Allah, there's no lie. Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the son, the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. Al Abbas, who had a loud voice, was screaming out, Ya Ashab al-Shajara, O the people who were under the tree, who gave the pledge of allegiance, come forth. Ya Ashab Surah Al-Baqarah, O the people of Surah Al-Baqarah, halummu ilayya. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling out, come towards me. Why, what happened? That the people went helter-skelter, and very few people remained around the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of those that did remain was that Abu Sufyan, cousin of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who recently embraced Islam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. The Muslims began to regroup and they began to fight. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam picks up a handful of sand and he throws in the direction of the enemy. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Muslims began to regroup, he said, Al-an hamiya al-watis. Now the fight has grown fierce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وعذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين. Allah mentions, Allah has already given you victory in many regions. And even on the day of Hunayn, when your great number pleased you and you got complacent, but it did not avail you, it didn't help you at all. And the earth became constricted for you, even though it is vast. Then you turned back fleeing. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ Then Allah sent down His tranquility upon His messenger and upon the believers. And Allah sent down, He sent down His soldiers, the angels, whom you didn't see. And Allah punished those who disbelieved. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ And that is the recompense of the disbelievers. Allahu musta'an. The enemy began to retreat. Most of them retreated to Ta'if, the city of Ta'if, the mountainous city of Ta'if. They were defeated. And subhanAllah, they left behind lots and lots and lots of booty. They came with their women, they came with their children. And so all of this booty, they left behind and they fled. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he orders that the booty should be kept in the area of Ji'rana while the Muslims continued their pursuit of the fleeing enemy. And so they followed them to Ta'if. The enemy, they garrisoned themselves in the castles and in the forts of Ta'if. The Muslims now laid siege to them. And as for the booty, then Budayl ibn Warqa, he was put in charge of this. And he had taken all of the booty to the area of Ji'rana. We had about 72 of the Hawazin, they were killed at Hunayn. And about 4 Muslims were also martyred at Hunayn. As for the booty, I mean, we have crazy amounts with regards to the booty, subhanAllah. This is the largest booty that the Muslims ever received. We spoke about Khaybar, and at that time, the year 6 after Hijrah, Khaybar was the greatest victory in terms of booty. It was the largest amount of booty that the Muslims ever received. Well now, Hunayn surpasses that. Hunayn, there were about 6,000 women and children that were captured. 4,000 ounces of silver. 24,000 camels, sheep and goats. They were too numerous to mention and to count. There was also a woman by the name of Shema. She was captured. And subhanAllah, she is the foster sister of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the daughter of Halima al-Sa'diyah. And when she was captured, she had mentioned who she was. And eventually she meets up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she mentions that I am your sister. And they ask for like some proof. And she says, well here, you know, when we were young, you had bit me. And I still have that mark. Imagine these are memories now. They are old by like 55 years, subhanAllah. 55 years ago, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Shema, etc. And thus the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then set free this foster sister of his by the name of Shema, walhamdulillah. The Muslims, as we mentioned, they laid siege to the Hawazin and the Thaqif. They were now garrisoned in their forts of Ta'if and in their castles. The Muslims faced a lot of arrows. So while the enemy is in their forts, they were busy shooting the Muslims with arrows, with floods of arrows. Many Muslims were wounded, subhanAllah, and some of them were even killed. About 12 of them lost their lives. Allahu musta'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then orders that the camp be moved back so that the arrows don't reach us. Eventually where they camped, that is where in Ta'if you find the famous masjid, Masjid Ibn Abbas. Masjid Ibn Abbas, it stands at the place where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was camped when they laid siege to the city of Ta'if. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced with regards to one of the castles, whoever vacates this castle will be free, he will not be harmed. And about 23 slaves they left. Amongst them was Abu Bakr, one of the famous Sahaba. He was from amongst those slaves and he was set free, mashallah. We also find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the Sahaba to use catapults to eventually conquer the castles and the forts, but they were unsuccessful. And after about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the lifting of the siege. And when they said to him, make dua against the people of Thaqif. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rasul of mercy, the Rasul of rahmah, even at that time, he just lost 12 of his companions, 12 soldiers. What did he say? Allahumma hdi thaqifan wa'ti bihim. O Allah, guide the tribe of Thaqif and bring them to us. And bring them to us, subhanallah. We will see that's exactly what will happen, subhanallah. So the siege on Ta'if was now lifted. We discussed the conquest of Makkah. And soon after, the Battle of Hunain. Why the Battle of Hunain? Because the people of Ta'if, they decided to attack the Muslims. They got together 20,000 to attack the Muslims. The Battle of Hunain takes place. The enemy, they were winning at the beginning of the battle due to that ambush upon the Muslims. But eventually the Muslims regrouped and they recovered, walhamdulillah, and they were successful in the Battle of Hunain. Then the fleeing soldiers of the enemy, they flee to Ta'if and they garrison themselves, and that's when we had the siege on Ta'if, walhamdulillah. We now move on to post the siege on Ta'if. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns to Ji'rana and he camps here for about 10 nights. This is when they will distribute the booty. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hoping that the tribe of Hawazin, the people of Ta'if, etc., that they will have a change of heart, because their women and their children have been captured. So maybe they will repent, maybe they will come to me, maybe they will come and try to reclaim their possessions, their family, etc. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, waited many, many days, but the Hawazin, Thaqif, they are not coming. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins the booty distribution. And he gave the largest shares to the new Muslims of Makkah. The Abu Sufyan, the Suhail ibn Amr, the Safwan ibn Umayyah, the new Muslims of Makkah, they got the largest share of the booty. Example, we had Abu Sufyan, the father of Muawiyah, the husband of Hind bint Utbah. He received 100 camels. 100 camels, subhanallah. He also received 40 gold ounces each. His son Yazid, Muawiyah's brother, he also received 100 camels. And it's also mentioned that Muawiyah also received 100 camels. Hakim ibn Hizam, he was given 200 camels. He was given 100 and then he asked for more. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him another 100 camels. This is a fortune. A fortune, subhanallah. Safwan ibn Umayyah was given 300 camels. And then as they are moving between two mountains, this valley, he looks out and he sees all of the sheep and animals and stuff. And, he is taken aback by that sight. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "You like what you see?" And so he's like, "Yes." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "It's yours. It's yours. Take it. It's yours." Subhanallah, the Safwan eventually embraces Islam. And he says that, "I hated this man. I hated Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he gave me so much and so much that I had no choice, but I love him, subhanallah." Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Harith ibn Kalada was given 100 camels and many, many others. The infantry, they were given 4 camels, 40 sheep, cavalry, 12 camels and 20 sheep. Remember that after the conquest of Makkah, there was no booty. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave amnesty to everyone in Makkah. So there was no booty distributed after the conquest of Makkah. But subhanallah, Allah rewarded them very soon after. They were not expecting a battle with the people of Hawazin and Thaqif. Allah rewarded the Sahaba. Allah rewarded these new Muslims and granted them and granted them and granted them, mashaAllah. But subhanallah, we found that some of the Ansar, they had some complaints. Some youngsters from amongst the Ansar, they were like, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving so much to these people that our swords are still dripping with their blood. We just fought them recently and he's giving them so much, so much, so much.
I mean, is this really on? I mean, so we find that Sa'd ibn Ubadah comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, there's some talk among some of the Ansar that you are giving so much to these people and the Ansar are not getting similar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and what do you say, O Sa'd? He says, I'm only a man from amongst my people, meaning I also feel similar. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to gather the Ansar at a certain place. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there and he says, it's only the Ansar, don't allow anybody else. So the Ansar gathered. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O Ansar, what is this that I hear? What is this that I hear from you people? And so some of them said, Ya Rasulullah, I mean, our swords are still dripping with the blood of these people and you are giving them so much, but you are not giving us equal to that, etc. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then spoke to the Ansar and he says, did I not come to you people and you were misguided? Did I not come to you people and you were poor? Did I not come to you people and you were enemies to one another? And then Allah guided you via me. And Allah made you rich via me. And made you brothers to one another via me. These people are getting sheep. They are getting sheep. You are making an issue because we are giving them sheep and camels. And you get the Rasul of Allah and you go back to Medina al-Munawwara. You go back to Medina al-Munawwara with the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, had it not been for the hijrah, I would have been a man from the Ansar. If the people of the Ansar took one pathway and the other people took another pathway, I would take the pathway of the Ansar. Oh Allah, have mercy upon the Ansar. Have mercy upon the children of the Ansar. Have mercy upon the children and the children of the Ansar. The Ansar were in tears. The Ansar were in tears. رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. That we are pleased. We are pleased with that. We are pleased that they get the sheep and the camels and we go back to Medina al-Munawwara with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are pleased with Islam as our deen. We are pleased with Allah as our Rabb. And we are pleased with you as our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a very, very emotional time. Many of the Sahaba, many of the Ansar, they were in tears. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with regards to the booty distribution, there was another criminal. He comes, O Muhammad, i'dil, be just in your distribution of the booty. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoa, who will be just if I am not just? Umar says, Ya Rasulullah, let me kill this hypocrite, this munafiq. How can he talk in this manner? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, I don't want people to say that Muhammad, he kills his own companions. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with regards to this man and with regards to his progeny, him and his companions, they read the Quran, but it doesn't go further than their throats. Iman enters their hearts just like how an arrow goes through something and leaves from the other side. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We find that soon after, there was a delegation of the Hawazin, the people of Thaqif, the people of Ta'if. They eventually sent a delegation. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, we waited and now we've distributed the booty. Anyway, what is dearer to you people? Your wives and your children or your wealth? They said, obviously, our wives and our children, you know, that's what we are more worried about. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked the rest of the Sahaba, etc., that we give back all of the captives. And so the captives were given back to the people of Hawazin. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them about Malik, the leader of the army in the battle of Hunain. How is Malik? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, mention to him that if he comes to me, if he embraces Islam, I will give him his family. And I will also give him 100 camels. I will give him back his family. And I will also give him back 100 camels. And that's eventually what happened. Alhamdulillah, this Malik, he comes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He leaves Ta'if. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gets his family reunited with him. And he also receives 100 camels. Alhamdulillah, Malik ibn Auf al-Nasri. We find that, subhanAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after sorting out all of these matters, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He then goes to Makkah al-Mukarrama. He performs an Umrah. And then he heads off to Medina al-Munawwara. So we've sorted out all matters. He performs the last, he performs an Umrah as the last matter before leaving towards Medina al-Munawwara. And he reaches Medina al-Munawwara towards the end of Dhul Qa'dah. So they came in Medina, they came to Mecca in the month of Ramadan, and then the month of Shawwal, and then Dhul Qa'dah. Towards the end of Dhul Qa'dah, they returned back to Medina al-Munawwara. And on the way to Medina al-Munawwara, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets up with Urwa ibn Mas'ud. In fact, Urwa was looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He catches up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He embraces Islam, and he is from Ta'if. The siege was upon the city of Ta'if. This Urwa ibn Mas'ud is from the people of Ta'if. And he embraced Islam now. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, let me go back to Ta'if and do da'wah with my people. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually allows him. He goes to Ta'if and he does da'wah. But he is soon killed by his own people. Allahu musta'an. Remember, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, who Urwa ibn Mas'ud was. Look at how the hearts change. Urwa ibn Mas'ud was that individual who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were camped at Hudaybiyah. And he is the one who said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was not a Muslim, he says, Oh Muhammad, you've gathered the scum of the earth. You've gathered the scum of the earth, these people, these companions you have with you. And the Meccans, they are ready with their men and their women and their children. And they will never allow you into Makkah al-Mukarramah. Subhanallah. Look at how he spoke on that day. And look at him today. As a Muslim, and eventually he goes to Ta'if and he is martyred, radiyallahu an. Remember that this is now the year 9 after, this is the year 8 after Hijrah rather, this is the year 8 after Hijrah. In the year 9 after Hijrah, there will be the expedition to Tabuk. When the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns from Tabuk, then there will be a delegation of the people from Ta'if. They will come to Medina al-Munawwara, meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will embrace Islam. So subhanallah, about 1 year later, these people embrace Islam, and this is around Ramadan of the year 9 after Hijrah. We discussed the conquest of Makkah, the year 8 after Hijrah in Ramadan. Well, the year 9 after Hijrah, the people of Thaqif will embrace Islam. Walhamdulillah. Imagine that victory. How previously our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone there, and he had suffered, and he was stoned. The year 9 after Hijrah, people of Ta'if become Muslims, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, before we end off this halaqa, this majlis, remember, in the year 8 after Hijrah, there was the conquest of Mecca. We discussed the battle of Hunain in the month of Shawwal. We discussed the siege upon the city of Ta'if, also in the month of Shawwal. There was the booty distribution which took place the following month in Dhul Qa'dah. We talked about the foster sister of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shayma, meeting up with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was the Umrah Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done before he left for Medina al-Munawwara. We also find that some historians mention that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to a woman by the name of Fatima bint Dhahak, but this marriage was not consummated because this woman had said to him, A'udhu billahi mink, I seek Allah's protection from you, and thus Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam separated from her. It's also in this year, in the month of Dhul Hijjah, that Ibrahim is born. Ibrahim is born to Maria al-Qibtiyya, Maria the Copt. Ibrahim, the final and last son of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be born in the year 8 after Hijrah, and in the month of Dhul Hijjah he was born. We also find in this year, Zainab had given birth to a daughter rather, by the name of Umama. Many a times Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in Salah, and he would carry this Umama. Later on in history, this Umama will get married to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. It's also said that in this year, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken a minbar, and then he stopped using that tree stump. And it is this tree stump that eventually cried. There was the sound coming from this tree trump because it was missing the company of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For the Hajj in this year, 8 after Hijrah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Attab ibn Asid or Usaid. He is the one who led the Hajj. And it's also in the same year that Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that she had passed away. Daughter of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab, she had passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our majlis, our sitting, our learning in our scales of good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. They asked one of the pious, describe for us paradise. And he said, Fiha Rasulullah, in it is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to drink from the perfumed biography of our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and implement in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the intercession of our Nabi, our Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until we meet again. Barakallahu fikum. Hada wa sallallahu الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.